Trouble.
No. Sorry. Forgot.
So we'd have to do that anymore. Apology.
Yeah.
We've learned now.
Yeah.
We know, don't we?
Well, I don't know what else I could say. I forgot and I said sorry. Yeah. I'm not sure what else I could do.
5 steps to apology.
Yeah.
Obviously, with not having anyone on the Health and Healing Mountain is somewhat of a concern. It's actually part of the shield that we have and the declarations of that. I know Graham sort of makes declarations or has been covering a lot of it, but it is a concern. A, because it's in one of the mountains and we have a sphere of authority with no government, which is not a good thing to have. And B, it's also a major part of life in terms of healing and health, isn't it? So I think we need to look at that. Bench of 7. We need to see that filled.
Yes, we do.
She's looking at you, Mark.
Yeah.
I said it's a dangerous game sitting opposite me.
Yeah, she'll put her evil eye on you.
I'm looking at you, Mark.
You're so volunteered.
I was teasing.
You have to have an interview with the bench, sorry, so.
Well, you have to put in your touches.
So what are we going to do about all that then?
Well, we need to identify what the reasons are behind that, haven't we? So is there just well, someone doesn't think they need to do it anymore or doesn't feel God wants them to do it anymore? Or is there something deeper than that that we need to identify? Obviously the health mountain has been a problem
From day one.
So it's like, and it is a, you know, if the enemy's going to attack one of the mountains, that would be quite a good one
to
attack.
Yeah.
You know, because it's one that has an impact on everything else.
I think Pat's hope was that by doing that, she's clear in her own mind as to what she's doing, because there's always been this strange link with exchange, so it clears it for her, but also it means that it's clear as far as what the mountains, you know, it is clear now and empty, so to speak, but so that's sort of in a sense clarified things.
Yeah, I mean that's
for her, and
I think, as Deb said, kind of could probably anticipate that that was going to happen in terms of, you know, all the stuff that's gone on before. So I think that there's no kind
of... It's a hard
of, like,
decision for her to make.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
kind of...
It's
more freer now, when
yeah,
she's to focus
on what she wants to focus on.
I thought for a while she just to focus on really
where her heart
is. Which I think
is
on the exchange.
It is,
Yeah, so I there's no kind of... I don't... There's no... bad feeling or, you know, about that. You know, that's totally fine. It's just absolutely fine. It's not a problem. Other than...
Well,
it's
a problem. It's
not a problem that Pat's not on.
It's not
a problem that
it's not her problem.
No,
yeah,
it is a problem.
It's our
problem.
It's our problem.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. No.
Is there something on? Is it be all the mountain benches full then? Because I know that we've got a gap on exchange. So
no, I don't think exchange is.
Blessing's got one missing.
We're limping.
So what vacancies do we have?
Well, there's one on the exchange for Hickle.
One on Blessing.
One on Blessing. Three on Heaven.
We don't have a vacancy, but we've not met with Carol for a really long time and it's difficult to meet with her. But she's not saying that she's not... I think she still does her stuff, but we're not actually...
But you're not functioning as a three?
No.
Yes, she works.
She's away
every the area all
yeah,
week, so.
Yeah. So, that's what I meant by limping. We are three in number, but two in function.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was, this is off the record, obviously, was we'll give it to the away day, which is a Saturday. And if she can't make it to that, then I think we need to make some sort of decision, because you can't.
Can't be on it, but not on it.
We need three.
Okay. So how are we going to see some others come forward into those areas?
Before other people come forward, should we find out why they're...
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's a particular reason...
If we clear the way, maybe others will come forward.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's... Yeah. If there are accusations against that mountain, or something that's hindering it, I would... Well, I know they did look at lots of things when they were looking at that. You helped them look at some things.
Like, sorry, who are you talking about now?
The health mountain. Yeah. So there's been quite a lot of activity in looking at what was hindering that up until this point. So was there anything that we can draw from that? Or is it?
It was really the main topic of conversation was clearing the way after the initial bench broke down. So there was just Janet and Pat on it. So that's really primarily what we talked about. But I think there have been quite a few court cases and stuff going on. Whilst I'm looking at this and typing this up, you know, in my spirit I'm feeling like actually the name's wrong even. It should be health.
Mm.
Health, just health.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Gradually it's kind of devolved
into
to
healing,
but it's about health.
Mm. You know, and health does have quite a broad perspective rather than just sort of, well, seeing people healed. So the whole thing of health from a governmental perspective, and I think this is where, if the mandate for that mountain, you know, was it ever really clear that they had a clear blueprint and mandate for what that mountain was? Because if we're going to start to see someone else come to it, originally what we did was encourage people, if they felt called to a particular mountain, then they shared it on a Sunday, then they encouraged others to participate. Well, you know, the person who obviously shared it initially, did they actually have a mandate? And was that mandate actually health? Or were they looking more on the healing aspects?
Yeah. I think, well, I mean, I shared, actually, I was part of sharing, because I was, it was the first mountain, if you like, that did it, and I was involved to frame, if you like, some of the pictures and share some of the pictures and visions that I'd had about it. But then, obviously, Jan then shared, and there were some other people as well who shared. So perhaps it must have been Janet. And
I think Pat shared, didn't she?
Did she? Was it Pat, Janet?
Was it Linda? It might have been Linda, because there were a group of people who were meeting together who had a heart for healing that shared. I mean, could it be, I might be being simplistic, because there's an awful lot of court cases and things that were done for that particular mountain, whatever you want to call it. Could it, I mean, in hindsight, Janet wasn't really in her personal life in a position to be in government, was she? Because, could it just have been that actually those people weren't the right people, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. And that I'm not talking about Pat in the sense of like Pat is in government and she's on the exchange, but actually as soon as the exchange got going, it was quite plain to see that that's really where she ought to be. And I think personally she had a battle in feeling she was letting everybody down if she went from here to here, and she's been in that long process, hasn't she? So I'm not being critical of the culture.
I think she would say exchange has a healing mountain on it anyway.
I'm not saying we don't need to look at why it's where it is, but ultimately were the right people ever on that to take it where it needed to go?
Well, in
which wouldn't equal cases, would it? In a sense,
in hindsight of everything, you know, we wouldn't have done anything the way we've done it if we'd have known what we know now. That's just the reality, isn't it? It's
sort of quick, we have
more revelation and understanding governmentally, and that's why we have a different thing in place now.
I'm not being critical, I'm saying we wanted
to encourage people to have a go, you know, that was our desire.
Need to be in a position of authority in their own lives,
absolutely, and we didn't have any,
and I think that's what any of that in place for me.
Then, you know, we didn't have anything in place to actually look and see, you know, were those people actually suitable, and did they actually have a clear mandate from God to do it.
So it might be just clearing it, so now it can be fresh.
Yeah.
It might not be any more complicated than that.
Yeah.
Because there have been lots of court cases.
There have been already lots of court cases. Mm.
To clear this, to clear that, to clear the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying there is. Yeah. I'm just saying I think we've got to take stock of where we are and look at the fact that we have to learn the lessons from that, and we wouldn't do it now like that.
No.
So in terms of health, we would be looking at, well, what authority does someone have? And certainly if you're not quite healthy in your own life, it does diminish the level of authority you can operate in on a higher level, because you're not operating it in your own life. You know, and that's true for anything. You know, I think, you know, it's our personal lives, mountains that we need to establish government in, and then that outworks in being able to deliver that in other areas. So, yes, I think, you know, we can look back and say we were trying to do two or three things all at the same time, and we were learning a lot on the job. And
well, I actually think that God allowed us to make these mistakes, because it was a, you know, just do it. There was no, even though we sort of asked, well, how do you do it? You know, we were allowed to do it. And I think that, you know, it's all valuable. So none of the stuff that we've learned is wasted, because, you know, we're forerunners because we're going to teach people how to do it, but that also includes teaching people how not to do it. And we won't know how not to do it if we don't do it wrong.
And
some of the times.
And in reality, it's like when it comes to these sorts of things, we're looking to try and find a new way of doing it, which means it's not telling someone where they should be. Otherwise, it's like we could say, oh, all right, actually, there's three people we could find to be in the health meeting, and we'll go and appoint them, because we think they should be the people. Well, you know, we're not going to do that, because that is not the way to do it, but what is the way to do it? And that's, when it comes down to it, we're looking to encourage people to hear God for themselves and respond to what God is saying. And in this sense, even now, although we would have something in place to follow a procedure to help people understand what the role was and to support them in that role, we would still be asking, does anyone feel called to be part of the health planting? I mean, what else can you do? You know, we can go, okay, God, show us who those people are, and then we'll call them, but ultimately they have to hear God for themselves. You know, otherwise you're redoing a way that we don't want to do, which is, well, we hear and we tell you what God said.
You're forgetting the redemptive gift, Mike. As a ruler, we need to be asked.
Literally what?
If you know, the redemptive gift of ruler, yeah. for instance, needs to be asked. They won't volunteer, necessarily. Or there might be other gifts or other personality types that do not readily volunteer. They need to be asked.
Yeah, but,
so
the, but the asking is...
How do you cope with those people, then,
well, because under this principle? Because we've got to encourage people to hear God.
Yeah, well, you can hear God, but it doesn't necessarily mean that when the rubber hits the road that you're going to put yourself forward for it, necessarily, especially if somebody
you
else is there. And you asked me if I was for the seven. So
what's the difference in that?
So I think, you know, we can end up with, you know, waiting for people to come forward and wondering why they're not. Well, actually, you know, you haven't been out there and canvassed them or given them the idea that actually they
by encouraging people to say, actually, we have a healing mountain that we need a bench for, and we would like everyone to actually seek God to see whether God would want you to be part of that bench. That's then anyone who said yes, then we would actually talk to and take them through a process to make sure they understood government, they understood the responsibilities, and we would ask them about, okay, have you got health in your own life? How are you working that through? There are things that we would now do differently, but we would still have to say, you know, and even if we sort of suggest it to somebody, it's still on the basis of you have to ask God about that. You know, when you can't appoint someone that does not feel called.
No, but you can.
Vision.
Sometimes people don't like to put themselves forward.
No, but we have to try and get over that by deliberately trying to help people in those situations to say you may not feel that you're ready or whatever, but actually ask God. It's asking God, it's the key. And in all the way through, you know, it's like all those things we are learning. And it's like, you know, we're in a situation where there's two vacancies on the seven. How do we fulfill those vacancies? Now, we can go and seek God, and we've done that before, but we've always then said, okay, here's a pool of people that potentially could be learning to do this role. Because, again, you don't have to be experts. It's not about being experts, it's being willing to learn and to grow and to mature in government. It's, you know, no one starts out from a position of maturity. But it's difficult to... when you look at it, it's like you have to look at it with, okay, what is a new way of doing this and what's an old way? Well, a new way would be a heavenly perspective, but whose? You know, we could say as a three, and there's been an expectation that, well, actually it's the three who should find out who the seven are. I mean, that's been an expectation, I think.
Well, I think previously you have.
Yeah, well... But actually what I'm saying is that actually the right way of doing it?
From my point of view, it was to be invited to consider it.
Yeah.
Was confirmation of the fact that of where I was headed, but I would never have come forward and said. It's unlikely that I would have put myself forward without the invitation. So
I actually understand.
Do you know
that?
What I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Because when we first,
so
well,
the
first
might not
fated
be the only one
seven. God had been speaking to me about leadership for well over a year, but there's no way that I'd have come and said, I think I need to be on leadership at all. And actually, and when we then did the three, it was like it was the Holy Spirit put my hand up because I wasn't going to. So, and I've got over that. It's because of what happened in seven and how messy it was and everything, but
the first seven, not the second seven.
Or
the third seven.
Magnificent seven. That's what you've got now. Magnificent
five.
Five, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Would you consider people part of the ecclesia?
Hmm?
Would you consider people part of the ecclesia who could fulfill that role?
Would
people
I?
People who say part of the church but aren't living in locally.
I don't know who anybody is who would see themselves. Well, there are a number of people who would say yes to that, but the way they see it, that would be probably different from in terms of the responsibility of
we'll
that.
Take them.
It's not outside of total possibility. Should there, let's say we have groups that when we get going, the Freedom Apostolic Resources Mountain, and in terms of that group, multiplies and they're not local, then yeah, you'd have to, but then they would be very clearly seeing that they're part of the church, because they would be part of a church group, a discipleship group, which is sort of different from people who are listening to stuff online that, well, yeah, I consider this my church, because they're not going anywhere else, and but they're not actually really involved as they would if they were part of the group. So that might change that perspective.
If you had live streaming, and we suddenly had people who considered logging on, were part of what was going on, but they weren't, they could be 2,000 miles away.
Yeah, they could be. It would potentially make it quite difficult.
In terms of
the time zone, unless we get transfer relocation going quickly. What we obviously wouldn't do is tell someone that you have to do this.
Yeah, no, I don't think
anybody
would
say
that.
So we would obviously want to encourage people.
We wouldn't make it somebody's responsibility.
No, but because people have to accept the responsibility and choose
to be
part of it.
Could you ask God about this? We've been praying. Can you see what God's saying to you? You're actually giving them the freedom to seek God themselves, but just encouraging that actually you see something in them.
Well, that's what we did last time.
With a number of people.
Nobody wants to play.
No, yeah, well, it must be something. Yeah,
it must be us. Well, okay, we'll resign. You can have a fresh start.
But
the door now, then, is it?
We have to look at it, and it is a process. And having those things in place, is where are where, what are we doing to encourage and help people to feel that they would be able to, and that's the difficulty where we are, because a lot of sort of the governmental legislation stuff is, I haven't talked it to the wider church, because the wider church basically we've said aren't really ready for that sort of stuff. So it's quite difficult then when it comes to people to see governmental positions when we're not actually teaching them about governmental things, although they can access that material. So I do think we have to look at how we do these things. Issuing a sound, doing a call. We're calling out from heaven all the time. That's what I am. We've talked about it.
We call in.
I know. So,
And they disappear.
So, in essence, if we don't think there's something blocking some of those roles, but it's actually more now there needs to be a fresh start and a new invitation, then we need to make that clear and invite people to consider that and ask God, and then have a process in place that those people who might come forward that we can actually engage with, which would be different from what we've done before.
I wonder if it would work better for that kind of thing to have like an evening and invite people, and then you'd get people who really wanted to know what you were talking about.
What type of thing?
Well, a bit like a family meeting and an evening to talk about
government
and what it looks like and how we are and the mountains and the seven and outline in that way, and call people into those, because then people that came to that meeting would be wanting to know, rather than on a Sunday when you get a hodgepodge of all sorts of understandings.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, again, it's like, are you in who the people that you think might come other than the people who already would come?
Well, I don't know, but you're talking about positions needing filling.
But it would be better to actually call a meeting of everyone who considered them part of a church, and then we could actually talk about them to the family who believe that they're part of the family. Rather than just say, well, this is anyone who fancies coming.
No.
It'd be more like, you know, if you like a church chat, which was talking to the church and about things that we wouldn't want to talk necessarily on a Sunday.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Because, you know, we obviously have to talk to everyone about groups at some stage anyway, don't we? When we're going to begin those groups. So we're going to have to talk about, you know, how those groups, how people would choose the, what, which group they wanted to be in, and how that was going to be organised, as well as, you know, the governmental positions. You know, there are a number of people who have a heart for health and healing and various aspects of that, who... God might prompt when we share it. So perhaps do you think that would be a good thing to do? Because then we can share differently than we would, you know, trying to do it on a Sunday. Because there are a number of things we obviously do need to discuss, you know, belonging, you know, the different ways in which people can belong, the exchange in terms of, you know, that hasn't been publicly shared really in a way, more than, you know, a thing at the beginning of the year, just spelling out initially what the idea of it was. So there's a number of things would be good to feedback on and to share.
You're away though, aren't you, from the 10th, 11th, until when? 29th, 27th?
26th. Well, that's when I get back, yeah.
So realistically, you'd be looking at the beginning of October. We've not had our away day yet, so. And then you're away straight after that. So we could potentially book something in if everybody actually feels that's the right thing to do. So it's in the diary now rather than leaving it.
Is there any midweek things that nothing else planned?
Yeah,
So,
October the 5th,
Wednesday the 5th.
Yes, I said, I don't think it was a no.
Yes, for me, I'm...
Well, there's... the 28th would be too quick after you got back, probably, wouldn't it?
Probably. Doesn't really matter to me, but it's like, probably be a good idea if I still got together first.
Yeah.
And for an away day, we'll obviously...
No, you're beeping.
Mm. I am, yeah. I actually got a text.
Well, now we feel special.
Got a text from my daughter.
Even more special.
I'm fifth will be fine for me. I mean, I'm fifth will be fine.
Yep.
What are we going to call it?
Church family meeting or something.
Family chat.
Yeah.
Get the fireside picture out. Cirrus and the pipe.
You fubbing?
I'm just replying to the text because it required an answer. And you know, our daughter has to have things in order.
It's weird, Mark, isn't it?
So we'll do 7 or
7:30
for that?
7:30, I expect, is it?
Or
7? 7. Should we do 7? Yes. Wow. Well, it's latterly work confusing. Or on time, not like.
So do you want that to start? Is it, no, it's too early. It's fine. Okay. It's too early to say it now.
Yeah.
I answered my own question.
Save. So, are there any other things do you think it would be good to include on that evening?
Ice cream.
Let's go the whole hog and have pizza.
Ah, how does that relate to the marriage thing?
What? You mean date?
How does it relate?
How does it relate to what day
they're
you
not
have?
Doing Wednesdays, are you?
No, the last one is the 12th.
All right. Okay.
That's a Wednesday. You have to do it on a Wednesday.
Oh, the last one's the 12th, but this is the 5th.
Yes, that's fine.
Is it every other week, isn't it?
No.
Is it every week?
Every week.
Every week.
Why would it be on the 5th if the last one's on the 12th?
Because it's Saturday.
Because it's a Saturday or Friday, but we have to do it the 12th because we're away on the 15th.
Ah.
Okay. On some boat somewhere.
Keep up!
Sorry. I've just put it from my mind because I'm so jealous. I've blocked it.
Keep reminding me.
I sent you lots of pictures and stuff.
Facebook messages.
But this is where we're going soon.
I've got. Where is it?
It's not where, is it? It's what's
it
on?
What is it again?
Yeah, what's it on? It's the not where is it.
Okay. So, is there any other things do you think it would be good to cover that evening? We've got a number of things in terms of groups and...
Well, it might be good. You never know.
Yeah.
Might be good.
Depending, because we need to talk to you about forgiveness therapy.
Yeah.
So, if we talk to you and it's deemed it might be good to share about that then.
Why don't you share about it now then?
Yeah, give us some feedback.
Yes, be good.
Share it with the.
Jane's not here, she might cry. She might be cross.
Who? Because she's not here.
She's not on the 12th, anyway.
No, but she's been planning that we'd come and talk to you guys. You know, if we do it without her, she might beat us up.
Well, we just asked you to give us some feedback at the meeting.
So that everybody's informed.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Well, I should have to go deal with herself, won't you?
Okay, fine. Okay, it was brilliant. Okay, in the story. It was very good, wasn't it, Gray? The concept is fabulous. It's completely non... Christian mm-hmm. completely and utterly, which we wouldn't have a problem with at all, but they had a real problem with in the beginning, just in the way they speak to people. But because it's normal for here, that's fine. But any use of Jesus, God, Christian, praying, banned completely and utterly. Because
what happens if Christians come for the therapy?
During their therapy, this is where it falls down a bit for me.
Yeah, but what if they know they're Christian?
No, they have taken on board that they are running forgiveness therapy, and that is this program. If people come as Christians, ask forgiveness therapy, they will do this program. If they want prayer, then they can have it afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But during this, because they're training and putting it in, it is really strict to the program. I didn't realise they had written it. It's there, the program. So I've been researching forgiveness therapy, and there's hundreds. Yeah. But this is there, forgiveness therapy.
When you say there, you mean the Totnes Marketplace?
Well, no, it's not. It's Freedom Centre Totnes. It's theirs. So if we decided to do this, it's like lie busting. If we did lie busting, we had to do it exactly like that. So if we decide to do this program, we have to do it exactly like this. We all thought it was fantastic. They're having real results from it. It's incredible how they've done it. They wouldn't show us the booklet. They wouldn't give us a booklet. Absolutely not. My question is, I think our question, is whether we take on their program or whether we actually make our own.
And what did you feel about that?
Well, that was the question that we came away with, and I think we all came away with that question, because there were certain things.
Yeah, but what's the answer?
Well, so we haven't talked to you guys, and we haven't got together, have we?
What was it about their programme that made you think that you might want to do one differently?
Just because I think God's given us some really good stuff that you couldn't include, because this is how it would be. I'm not saying that we wouldn't. I'm just saying those the thoughts, because when you get in that setting, you just start getting just like, well, and we were just going to feed back with you guys. So that it's a 12-week program, 12 sessions,
50-minute session. And I think if somebody misses two or three,
then they cancel them, but it's you have two people ministering.
Quite firm.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
You have two people ministering each time.
Yeah.
Although they're not called ministering.
There's a lead and
a first and a second. And they try and keep that consistent for people, because obviously people are really broken when they come. So where possible, if Joe was your first, Joe would try and be there every single time. And then Mark, if he was a second, he wouldn't open his mouth. He wouldn't speak. He's just praying in the corner. He's just seeing what's going on, and but he's really, really important. But he doesn't actually interject in anything, because it's between.
So is it on a one-to-one basis?
No, it's on a one-to-two.
One-to-two.
But one-to-one in terms of the interaction. Yeah.
But the lead is totally focused on the person in front of him, so everything is.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, it's not group therapy.
No, it's one. It's one-to-one. Individual. And I mean, they've got some fantastic testimonies. Oh, some things that have happened. It's.
There was a testimony where a wife had been coming in, and the husband had been coming in. Got near close to the building, and he got recommended. Now he's actually wanted to do the course himself because he's seen the change in his wife.
Yeah. Which is awesome, isn't it? Such a fantastic testimony.
So, I mean, really, it's about giving people that they outline in the beginning bits of what unforgiveness does. So your emotional health, your physical health, different things, scientific different things, and they talk about what it hindering your future or, you know, staying in the past and different things. But then actually when you get into the week, they really just encourage people to speak, just to offload, no matter what it is, just to offload. And
sometimes it, you know, sometimes it can take several weeks to get that person from before they even think about it. So forgive them.
Yeah.
So I mean, they've got, obviously we didn't see the books, but I would imagine the books are quite easy reading.
So when you did the role play, then what did you use to do the role play then?
They gave us scenarios. We had to hacked.
God got me on that one.
But it was real. A few people actually were like, the first lady I did, I was the therapist first and she was the thing, and she started off, she said, I was going to start off being Beatrix Potter. She said, and then she started talking about a son, and she's like, Beatrix Potter didn't have a son, that was my son. So it's like, it's just incredible that you were just role-playing a thing, but actually people were putting their own scenarios in it. People were crying and... I'm screaming in the corner. So I think that the actual book must be quite easy to read and simple to follow. But we weren't allowed to see it. But they have, you know, they've created their own diagrams for things, which...
How can they train you and not show you the book?
They don't show you the book until you...
You're not trained, are you? Yeah. You've just not officially... You're not...
Our process now is if we've done step one, there's seven steps. That was the other thing. I'm like, it'll take forever. Can't wait that long. We're step one. We've done step one. Now we have to grow our team if we do this.
Yeah.
And then they'll come and spend a day here with all the people who are interested. Anybody who wants to be a first needs to go down there for a training weekend separately to that. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to be a second doesn't. And then we start to advertise it and stuff, and then we have to go, if you're a first, you have to go down there and spend a whole day with them and attend their sessions, and then you have to do one when they check you out, and then they come up here and check you out.
Mm-hmm.
Step seven. I guess that's when you get the book.
Okay.
It's like...
Yeah.
But actually, what they're doing is actually safeguarding and keeping it
true. Yeah, which is fair enough.
I totally get that. I was just like, oh, goodness.
I just think when you look at it from somebody who's sort of the clientele that they're having in terms of people who are coming through the doctor's surgery or whatever, is very different from the clientele that we have here in the day centre.
No, they're getting very broken people. Mm.
But not quite the same sort of people as in the day centre.
Yeah, they're all broken.
Yeah, but I know. What I'm saying is they're all broken, but it's like they can't even go through 12-step things regularly. It's like it's not as straightforward to deal with those sorts of people in that rigid manner, is it?
Yeah, I think you have. I don't have any problem with the 12 sessions. Seems an awful lot to me, but. I don't have any problem in the set, sort of, this is your appointment, it's the same time every week in the same place, and where possible with the same first, although that's not always possible. I get that, because people want to be free, and they want to be free.
Yeah.
What I don't think would take so long if we were doing it with day centre, you wouldn't take so long to build a relationship, because we've already done it. So the trust would already be there, so you might not need 12 weeks. But the potential there would be.
Yeah, but what they're saying is you have to do 12 weeks if you do it their way.
No, you can't have any more than 12 weeks.
But you can have less.
Yeah. Because you're teaching people tools, and once they've got the tools, then they can do it themselves. It's very much writing things down, which is interesting if you can't write. But
drawing pictures.
Yeah.
You could, you know, that would be the other option, wouldn't it? But when it comes to the step of the person, we have to find our own scenarios. So step one, of people, how they start working through it, when they've explained what it is and they've shown the diagrams and they've said, and they reinforce over and over and over again, how are you feeling, what's happened, da, 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 da. Are you at that place, do you want to, and they, like three or four steps, isn't it, before they actually say, are you ready to do something with this, which I'd be like, let's do it now. So step one is expressing the pain. So somebody expresses verbally in as much or as little detail as they wish the situation that's caused you pain. So for some people it might be, I had a piece of cake on the table and he ate my cake. That might be where they're at to start unpacking things. And if that's where they are at that point in time, then that's what you go with. And then yeah, hopefully over time it's a bit deeper than it wasn't just about the cake. But so you express verbally, and if you can't write, then if you ask me, I'll write it for you, or we would say you want to draw it in a picture.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And then step two, which is another week, is how has that event that you talked about last impacted your life? Describe how you would, this is one I find really difficult actually. They do a big thing about imagine, can you imagine what the perpetrator was going through at the time? And I really struggled with that.
His side of the story, yeah.
Yeah. Can you?
Do when somebody's suicidal in between me?
Well, I said that. I did ask that.
That's a sort of restorative
kind
justice
of unpacking
approach.
People
yeah,
like
yeah, no, it's the perpetrator. It's the person who's wronged you.
Yeah, no, that's a restorative justice type approach, isn't it? That's what restorative justice does. It gets
no, that's
people
because I
to
hurt you.
Look at both. Yeah, but
these
restorative justice
just
is both
acknowledging
are
they've been really wounded, and it's like, yeah, but can you understand what's
yeah,
going for them at the time?
Yeah, but the, but that's what restorative justice does. It brings the perpetrator and the victim together,
of
and they
course,
have to discuss that sort of stuff. And it's
yeah, but this there's no perpetrator here. They're just trying to understand.
They showed a 5-minute powerful video, which a guy, a filmmaker, I think in London, put together totally about that.
It was very powerful, but we'll get that, wouldn't they? Because everybody was crying, weren't they? So there's a bit there about the understanding what's going on for other people, which I'm not saying I don't see it. I just think, flip. It's a really hard one. Oh, facing the facts. Write down every hurt, exactly how you were hurt and how you feel about it. And then remember, you have done things wrong and people have hurt you in the past and you've been forgiven. Getting people to think of things that they've done and if they've been forgiven for it, how that's made them feel.
Well, that's a whole session.
No, none of it's a whole session because you take people as slow or as quickly as they...
All right, so they could go through a lot of that in one, two sessions if they were...
Well, they could, but yeah, they're not likely to, are they? Mm-hmm. And then... it's a whole session on, it's called Securing Your Life, and again, I don't really get this one. It's like in a situation where you've been really hurt, how are you going to stop yourself from being hurt like that again? Mm. And I'm like, okay, but that you might be in an ongoing situation. You can't necessarily stop it happening again. Just, you know, some of it I didn't quite understand what they were saying, because you can say, well, I'm going to leave, so it'll never happen again. You can say... well, I'm going to shut down my emotions so it'll never happen again. But if you're in an abusive relationship where you're being abused, you can't necessarily, you know. So there's a lot I didn't actually, I did ask, didn't I?
That's interesting because we
I think
we
saw my hand going up.
But we would generally say when you've truly forgiven somebody and released them, then you're actually open to...
Yes, but you're talking about God because this was another thing that I think you thought, where did she come? Because at the end of it, obviously, when we do forgive and release, we are releasing the debt and God is coming and healing. Okay, that's what
that's
we know,
problem,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And what they're saying is forgiveness can take time and you might have to forgive over and over and over again. Eventually, the way that you do it is you write a letter to the person, telling them what they did, telling them how you felt, and in the letter, you're telling them that you forgive them. And that's your forgiveness and you date it and put it somewhere. And when you get angry or when something happens, you take out your letter to remind yourself that you've done it. Now, it must work, but I can't see how that works because for us, you only forgive once because then it's gone because God's healed you and then you do it. But they weren't they? That is one of the things that they were saying is you do it until it doesn't hurt anymore. And that always bothers me when people do it in churches, don't they? They do church forgiveness and they say sometimes you have to do it over and over and over.
This is based on psychiatry.
Yeah.
Psychotherapy rather than...
I mean...
Yeah, so it might be my mind is completely in the wrong place because I'm still trying to come from it from a Christian perspective.
It would be very difficult for us to adopt that whole procedure in our ministry of people. Within the church.
Yes, but this isn't ministry.
No,
this is a complete
outreach.
What they're saying is they don't have to speak because it's the love of God is flowing through them, and you can they can see God working, and I get that.
Yeah.
We see that. I get that.
But how many people? I mean, what's the goal? So this is not a goal of
it. No.
For instance, if we were to see this as something as part of an exchange, then our goal would be salvation.
Right. What she's saying is in everything they do, Marketplace Ministries, that's their goal.
Yeah.
They have no expectation of anything with this. They are doing this to bless people, to see them free, and they are believing that the presence of God will attract people outside of that environment to more. Mm. Which, again, that's what we have up until this point. It's almost like we're having a slight switch in. That's what we have done, and a slightly switch in, but they've come the opposite direction with this, isn't that right?
Okay. Well, we obviously have to really hear what God's
saying. That's what, it's fabulous and it's working, but I just had these.
I can see from the perspective of writing the letter, thinking and remembering that these people are not Christians. So they're not having God to finish off the.
Yeah.
They probably would have to go back to that letter because they would have no other way of.
But then the forgive and release process is an invoice which you cancel. And yes, there is the aspect of God healing you of the wounds and doing that stuff. But forgiveness, as a principle, works whether you do that or not. I don't know. If you're sowing an expectation that you might have to go over this over and over again, then that might be the expectation that people have. If you sow the expectation, when you cancel this invoice, therefore there's no debt.
That's what I'm saying. If we do this, we have to do this.
Yeah.
For me, I could hear myself go to the therapist because we had to do this role play. But for me, I could hear myself saying, "Right, speak out after me. I now choose to forgive this person. I acknowledge how they've hurt me, and I choose to cancel that debt. I'll no longer be under this. I'm da da da." You know, for me, that's where I got really excited. Well, I'm not sure that you can do that in this, and that's. This is theirs, so you can't mess around with it. Like lie busting, I could never be a lie buster because I couldn't do it lie busting way. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's a lot more here that I think we wanted to present to you in this sense to say, but for me, and I think for you and for Joe as well, we all thought this is absolutely brilliant. The principle of this is just incredible. Have we come that God's really stirring us to say, take this, or is he saying, you've got your own flavour of this? And I think that's what we came away with. Not saying one or the other.
Yeah. The thing that strikes me about what you've said so far is actually it's very similar to some of the concepts they use on the TC.
That's what I was going to ask, actually. How similar is it?
Really, really similar to some of the things that Kevin and Carolyn take them through.
Yeah, so I sort of brought up them. I asked the question. I said they obviously do have my story, so it's similar.
Sort of thing. They do all that stuff, yeah. So there's a lot of work on getting people to release stuff and let it go.
Because the other bit that I was slightly, I think we say I was slightly, a few bit, but
well, yeah, but you've got to say what you feel. Well, that's the point of going, isn't it?
They talk about an empty cup, well, they talk about your emotional cup.
Mm.
And they talk about in your cup of unhealthy emotions, you've got anger, guilt, fear, stress, and hurt. And the flip side of that is forgive, apologise, love, support, and comfort. But they talk very much, if somebody is stressed, they need support. So it's encouraging people to go to their trusted people, and it's like people don't always, and their relationships of love. It's just like people don't. And that, again, it's like, well, what's it? How do you get out of that? Well, they find something. Maybe they could get pet or plant.
Well, that sounds a bit like sort of a higher power without a person.
I think this is purely a medical view of forgiveness. This is a psychiatry view.
Yeah, but it works and it's working.
Well, it would do because it's based on science, based on the last 150, 180 years worth of stuff from Freud onwards.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it completely what we would want to use for the exchange, for example.
I personally, from everything you said, it would be like...
It's very humanistic, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. But it's been written by... The guy that's written this has been a psychiatrist for like 50 years.
I mean, really? They without... Yeah. I mean, their heart in it is to see people free.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have had the same kind of stuff with forgive and release. They wouldn't have got the same kind of understanding of the TC processes. They wouldn't have got any of that. So this, to them, is new and good and includes lots of things that we probably already know.
So. I think what I felt, I totally get that if you're doing it and you're going to advertise it for people, to bring people in from a non-Christian environment, it's fabulous. But then that's
no different than healing rooms. And healing rooms is very much a Christian approach, and you invite people to come in from a non-Christian environment, but you're very clear, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, but you're offering people a way of really encountering God without encountering God. But if you're doing it for give and release, as we do for give and release, then that comes on a basis of having a relationship with Jesus.
Well, not unless necessarily, you do. But it does includes in there, it's much easier to do this when you know you're forgiven. You know, because it is. When you know you've received forgiveness, it's much easier to forgive others, isn't it?
There's a whole sheet on... Now think of a thing that you did that you were really felt bad about, and were you forgiven? Like, some people's self-forgiveness is the essence of everything, isn't it?
Yeah,
for me, people that I can think about, they need to forgive themselves.
Okay, well, I think, look at it from perspective, would we need this as part of our church ministry to people in the church?
No.
Probably no.
Because that was the other thing, what they were saying was, practice in your church. And I was like, I practice this in the church. You'd be like, and when I was doing my role play and the woman I was talking to was really upset, I wanted to pray for her. And the way that they deal with things that they've had in the past is they've had somebody who just said, I need to break plates. She had no way to get out her anger, so they facilitated, and they just got plates, and she smashed plates
to the
until
local
she
Greek
was
restaurant
done. Until she was done, she just smashed plates. Yeah. And another woman went home and just weeded her garden, didn't they? Yeah. Pulled out all the wheat until she was done. So you have to have a way of... We would just say release it and God come and heal it, but people haven't got that.
No. You know, I can see that actually if you're encountering people that don't know God and are saying they don't want to know God, then actually that's a really good first step, because actually you're releasing, they're in an atmosphere, releasing it in an atmosphere of where God is.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they're then open to what God can do in their spirit.
Which is what they're saying, really, because they're constantly praying and dispatching angels, and you know, because that's how they function. And people, they walk in and they say, well, this is peaceful, and you know, because they're coming into an atmosphere, and they feel, well, we're just being Jesus, so...
Yeah.
When we're saying stuff, it's actually Jesus saying stuff.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. But Jesus did not say stuff, did he? He spoke the truth to them. It's like, Jesus wouldn't have done that, would he?
Part of the thing is, we've seen ourselves doing some sort of forgiveness thing.
Yeah.
What does it look like for us? Which is really our question, wasn't it?
Him. I mean, I think you also have to look at it in... Would we see this as part of the exchange? And obviously healing, health is part of the exchange. Would we see this as something we did in the day centre as part of the exchange? If it was like something the day centre was going to take on, well, you haven't got the staff to take that on, have you? There's no way you could do 12 sessions with two people for 12 weeks. You haven't got time to do it, have you?
It couldn't be done during day centre hours.
Not with day centre people.
Structured. No.
No, but a team of people could do it within the day centre, as or within a room, which offered that as part of the stuff we offer, which is where, you know, exchanges would take place, wouldn't it? But I just, from what you're saying, I would struggle to see how that would fit in with how we do things.
So they're coming from a perspective of, you know, moving to a more kind of secular, you know, approach, if you like, or a humanistic kind of approach. So they're like you say, they're going from different direction then.
Yeah.
I think they. So yeah.
So I think, you know, they're moving that way. We.
I mean, if they've got a mandate to do that that way, that's great.
They have that for them. It's outreach.
Yeah, it is.
Because we have an outreach here.
I see it as outreach. Definitely, I see it as outreach.
Yeah, but we've already got a whole lot of people.
I see it as a doorway. I definitely. It's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I just had a few.
But it'll be very interesting to see in 12 months, 18 months' time whether they've actually seen any fruit of salvation overtly.
I think they feel really positive about this woman who. She's finished now, and the husband's signed up because they've started coming in for coffee, and they're asking questions about, well, what do you do here? Why is this room like this? And what's all the, you know, and so it'd be interesting because they're obviously feeling these people are going to get saved, and they will. I'm sure they will. If they got a mandate to do this, then they got a mandate to use
God's going to do something with it. Yeah.
But we need to clearly understand where that mandate lies with us. What mandate we've been given?
They obviously had a download of stuff.
They said the booklet was a download for them. Now, I've never seen anything anywhere else to know whether they've picked up bits from...
Well, no, Lindy said it was a direct download. So, she just had another direct download on light therapy. Very interesting.
I bet that was interesting,
I mean, you went. I think you need to say what you really feel.
I mean, I think...
Am I?
No, well, in terms of, do you feel that we have a mandate to do that?
Well, that's do you feel we've got a mandate that to do that? That was our place. We felt we wanted to bring it back.
Yeah, that's what we felt probably the next step is mandate strategy.
Do I feel we have a mandate for forgiveness therapy? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But does it look like that?
Does it look like this? Yeah. That's my... Yeah. And I'm not saying it doesn't, but that was my thing. So we felt we need to come back.
Who is going to make that decision? No, I'm not.
Well, I think as the three of you have gone, I would suggest that the three of you get together and step in and ask God actually what direction to see, and then bring it back when you've got more of a definitive kind of like, actually, we've heard God and we all feel that this is what he said. Because as a three, you'll each get something.
Yeah.
And you'll have a picture, you'll have a response.
I mean, I personally think this is going to go somewhere for us in some...
Yeah, but also, whose jurisdiction is it? Because it has to come under...
Well, it's freedom, it's good news, it's exchange.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Ultimately, all of us, but someone has to take responsibility for it. So, in a sense, you have to know where it lies for us. But so it's always sneaking under... That R word, oh no, I've mentioned the R word. Because ultimately, someone has to say... Yeah, we have a mandate to do this. This is the jurisdiction, or under this mountain, or this is what it's for. Because that will determine what you're going to do with it. For me, it's very clearly an exchange thing, but that doesn't mean that, you know, the exchange is going to do it necessarily. But what do you feel, Hazel?
I feel that I picked up the point that Deb's made about them going from that position to that position, and this church is in this position, we need to go to where they've come from. In a sense, to get the balance right in terms of our... So we've got an outreach situation here, but we're not, you know, we're buttoned up as far as speaking about the Lord's concern. I think we need to... This is just off the top of my head, but I'm just thinking that we need to go in the other direction as far as delivering it in terms of... If we're going to do it, forgiveness therapy, but involving the Lord, and it just seems that that would be the immediate thought. But I feel we need to go that way, really, because perhaps we're up that end. We need to go.
Yeah.
But I do think
exchange. Yes. How would this sit with the exchange if it's not overtly Christian thing?
Well, but it has to be.
That's what I'm saying. But it's not.
I'm
so
not thinking that it should be overtly Christian.
Well, not the way they're doing it, no.
Well, I'm not thinking that... We want to attract people who... If we want to get people in, we want to show them something. I'm not saying we can't have almost two lots, because if you have people in there open and you're talking, then you can do it like that, can't you? But if you're just trying to bless people and see people come free, which is what they're saying, and people are...
Yeah, but that's their mandate. What's ours? This is the thing. What mandate?
We have
something similar in that mandate. What do you think the day sentence is about?
Yeah, but I'm saying, but where does this
demonstrating
lie?
The heart and love of God. It but is, actually, what we don't do is make people pray before they eat. We don't ram Jesus down their throats. But what we do is demonstrate it and clearly say it's about the heart and love of God. Now, I think I understand what you're saying, Hazel, but I think where they're going with this, and what I do think is right about this, is they're going into places and they're getting access to places and referrals from people that would not normally get anything like this.
Mm. Which is where we would be.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you asked me that.
Yeah.
But so we're talking about the day centre, but we're not just talking about people from the day centre.
No, because the thing about this is they're getting referrals from GPs.
Yeah, which is their prime referrals are GPs, aren't they? Who wouldn't refer into a Christian-based thing.
They wouldn't be allowed to.
They wouldn't be allowed to. That's the problem.
So the way they're seeing it is we're just blessing these people who are so broken because forgiveness works anyway.
Yeah.
They've not got an agenda, but obviously everybody's desire is that people are going to see something in them.
I think they've had, did I hear say that they've had a couple of people who've been in the profession,
a psychotherapist and a counsellor.
And have been blown away.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say of Marketplace Ministries that their heart is not to see people saved, because they're
way out there,
aren't they?
I mean, they're really excited that they are going to see people saved, but they haven't got an agenda, and that is not their, condition for doing it.
But they aren't a church.
No.
So they're not operating as a church. They don't decide
so
the people. They're not caring
saved,
for
they're
people
they go
in
anyway,
the same way.
Not a church.
They're a team of people who do certain things which is very different.
Yeah, but you've got to be careful that you don't just deliver a service to somebody with the ultimate agenda of trying to recruit them into your church. And I think, yes, whilst we want to see salvations, if you get to be that overt about it, you're going to put people off.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to be overt about it.
I'm saying you have to be overt about it. And actually Deb's saying that actually maybe we don't. Maybe we need to demonstrate something and work a programme that attracts people, and then by the process of them coming under the influence of the Holy Spirit or being in that environment, they actually start to ask the right questions. Then you can say, actually, we need to introduce you to something else.
Yeah, but we have to know whether that's what God's calling us to do. We need to see whether that's a mandate to do this.
We were all really excited, without a doubt. My spirit was going crazy. I just had questions about some of the way that they'd be mandated to do it.
I think it'd be different for us.
And only question is, would it look like that for us? And I don't think some of it would. It might be that we do. But if we go into this their way, then we've got to do it their way, because it's their... Mm. It's their programme, and you have to.
But whatever you do, whoever's going to do it would need to know the way they were doing it was what they were mandated to do.
Yeah, no, I understand. But obviously, once that decision is made, anybody else that comes into it needs to abide by that, and they are really strict about the thing. You do not mention God, you do not mention Jesus.
They have every right to do that, because it's their programme.
Yeah, but if we felt mandated to do that too, if that was it, we couldn't have people coming on behind just doing what they... has to be something.
But then that's why you need a clear mandate. What is it that God's actually asking us to do? Because if it's in line with other things he's asked us to do, then you don't want to be restricted. You want to be able to do what God is saying, and that's we need to know what God's saying.
Doorway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the name.
But we've already got a doorway. We've got a doorway of hundreds of people who come in here all the time.
But we haven't got a doorway where doctors are referring directly to us. What we've got is people drop in who know and come because they need some of the services. Yeah. A lot of the people that Marketplace will get are people who would not walk through the door normally here.
Yeah.
Because they're being totally referred by doctors.
Yeah, I totally accept that, all true. Yeah. But we have to look at, where does this fit within our blueprint? We have a blueprint to see salvation, ultimately, Joshua generation and the harvest. It isn't we already have.
I don't think we're disagreeing with that, Mike. I think the difference is how upfront you be about Jesus in the first place. What we've got to do is get people through the door, and then when they're through the door.
Yeah, we've already got people through the door.
You've got no idea what it's like working in that environment, and you don't always get the opportunity to talk about these things. You can see somebody needs to forgive or they're hurt or they're wounded, but because it's absolutely really busy, you don't necessarily get time to sit down and unpack that with people.
Yes.
This would be a way of doing that.
Yeah, I totally accept that.
So you can say we've got hundreds of people. We
people,
don't have time at the moment.
I know. I'm not saying you do, and you wouldn't. So you couldn't run this as a 12 within the day centre with the people you've got and the staff you've got.
No, but
so you have to recruit a team of people who felt it was their call to reach out and engage people with this healing or forgiveness therapy. How you sell that to them, to them see what is it that God's calling them to do, will determine whether you're going to have people who want to do it or not.
Of course it is. Well, I totally understand that. What I am saying is, if you advertise something specific like this, you could then be in talking to people on a different level. And I think once people did this, that would open them up to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not
saying, without saying you can only forgive if God, you know, I get it. I get that principle completely.
But going back to, I think, you know, finding out what God's saying and then take it from there and then come back and say, okay, this is what we believe we need to do, and then we can evaluate it rather than it being us stepping in. Because you've been, you've experienced it, you can feel it, then you can find out what God is saying, and then we can look at it again.
We shall. Is there anything else you wanted to say that I haven't said?
No. I think, I totally see the whole thing of not letting go and everything and stop it. I see that, you know, obviously, because they are handling non-Christians, you know, having people that, like I said, probably wouldn't go to or come through if you mentioned Jesus, if you mentioned church. So they're doing this, I think maybe God was instructing, but they've deliberately done that, and they made a clear point right from the start.
But that's what they're mandated to do, and I've got no problem with that. It's like we need to know what we're mandated to do, and we can't just do that because they're doing it that way. It has to be, what is God saying to us in light of what he's saying to us overall about the exchange and everything else? Where does this lie? You know, what jurisdiction is this under? And therefore, the mandate for that will release how it's done.
Because I'm guessing that even on next weekend, it won't be things overtly done.
Well, no, that's not true. In their outreach to people, they can be very overt.
No, they're not.
Depends on what. Well, I've talked to her.
We've been and seen her last week, and we've agreed what they're going to do.
Okay, that's fine. But they are sometimes very overt as they're led by the Spirit.
Well, they.
So it depends entirely on what situation, because they go in the marketplace when they did, and they would sometimes be very clear and very open and talking to God straight, direct, and sometimes they wouldn't say it at all because they were led.
Lindy was really clear with us and said that. She said she doesn't use any God jargon or church jargon. Yeah, no. And that it's in language that they understand, because obviously they're all open to spiritual things. And stuff. And only if the Holy Spirit directs do they give them further information or anything like that. So she was really upfront about that. And she said, also, the agenda is not to see people saved. The agenda is to meet them at their point on their journey on that day. So it could be that God says, these guys are going to get saved. Yeah. Or it could be, like today, now, with you. Or it could be that you're sowing seeds and you won't see the fruit of that, but somebody else will in the future. So she said, you know, there is no kind of like agenda in that respect other than to meet them at their need and respond to exactly what God says to do, not to push the gospel or any of those things. So she will give a briefing to everyone about that particular side of things, but I do need to give you all an update about that in a minute.
Oh, I think it will probably be a good thing if you do what Becky has suggested, the three of you engage, see what God's saying, and then potentially we could engage them on your way down to actually see specifically what that, where that fitted within what God was saying overall. Because otherwise, someone, it's got to be someone's responsibility. Even if it was several mountains saying, actually, we think this is something that we can work together in.
A working party or something.
Yeah.
Good. Right, I'll do that update now.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I need to start from the beginning because I think you need to understand what God is doing. Because it's... I guess a week before I finished for holiday, got a phone call from a lady who wanted to invite us... wanted to find out what items they could buy for us with the proceeds of an awakened event in Tetley Park.
So is it sort of run by a particular organisation or something? Is it got a sort of title thing or
it's a group of people? It's run by, a lady is establishing it, but it is actually national, so they've got people coming from all over the place. Mm. And it's the first, which I think is actually significant, it's the first event of this kind in this area.
Oh.
So there's going to be people coming from all over the country. And so...
Is there like an Awakened UK or something? There's a sort of a
affiliation.
I think there might be some affiliation, yeah, some kind of connection there. Right. So she, while she's on the phone saying, what sort of things do you need? And what can we buy? And I explained a little bit about what we do and that kind of thing and how it varies. And because they particularly want it to go to a homeless, for homelessness stuff. So they want the money to go to homeless people, like either buying warm socks or flasks or things like that, so that we can help homeless people. So that's what they're donating for. So then she said, well, actually, whilst I'm on the phone, I really feel like I need to invite you to come to the event. So I'm like, okay. So that's when I had my moment. And clearly, really clearly, got a mandate. I barely stepped in, and there's an angel beside the desk with a, you know, like, don't go any further, this is, you know. So I'm like, okay, so that's fine. And then whilst I'm sharing it with Nigel, I'm emailing Nige, because I looked at the calendar and realised that like loads of people are off, and I'm just like, oh, flip. So whilst I'm typing up an email, I'm like, my spirit's jumping, and I'm just like, okay, God, okay, I know you want me to be involved particularly as well. And stepped in, but I didn't get a mandate. I got a mandate for us to go for the presenter being there as a charity. Did not get a mandate for anything else, but felt there was something there. So I was like, oh, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And every time I stepped in, because I knew that there was something more than just promoting the charity, I knew that, but every time I stepped in, God said, speak to Marketplace. So I'm like, okay, well, we'd already mentioned it to them when we went down there, but she hadn't got back, the lady hadn't got back to me, and we didn't have any details, it was all up in the air. So I emailed Lindy and said, is God talking to you about this at all? Just because I didn't want her to feel like I was going, okay, here you go, this is your, you know, dumping something on them. But I really felt that there was something there. So she said, oh, as a matter of fact, he is. So that's when we arranged. So last week we went down on Wednesday to catch up with her. But prior to that, I emailed Tracy back, who's the lady organising the event, and said, could we do some inner healing, offer some healing, that kind of thing, because the whole event is healing, is a healing event. So, and she was like, oh, possibly, but then she got back to me just before I went away, so on the Friday, late Friday afternoon, and said that, but you'd need to be in the healing tent, there's a big marquee, so you'd need to be in there. And every time I stepped in, I could see that we were together on this pitch. So it wasn't, we weren't separate. So it wasn't like the project and whatever we were doing as a church. It was something where we were together. So I was like, okay. So I said, God, what do we do? And he said, just leave it. So I was like, okay, that's fine. So went away. Didn't think about it at all, because I was just like, God, I'm going to put this down because I can't do anything with this for 2 weeks. And when I come back, it's going to be 5 days before we have to set up. So felt totally at peace about it. We arranged to go down and speak to Lindy and discuss stuff. And she really was really helpful, and it was really useful to understand what she's done in the past and how they would do it. And she did explain that, you know, there's no agenda other than to meet them at their whatever point in their journey they are with God, as God's got them on this journey. Because obviously they must be on a journey because they're spiritually, oh, they're looking for something. And that also that they, she could do, if we couldn't do healing, which is what we were talking about, then we could do readings. So I was like, okay, that's fine. So that actually sounded quite interesting as well. So when I got to church yesterday, Tracy was here and she wanted to put a sign out on the fence about the event. She said, I'm just as a matter of courtesy, she said, I'm going around all areas of the town putting these signs up. I'm just sort of letting you know that that's what I'm doing, as you know, you're here and you're coming and stuff. So I said, oh, that's fine. I said, it's actually, technically, it's not our fence, so we can't say yes or no. It's
technically not allowed to, I know.
No, but she contacted the council. Yeah. She did contact the council. She said, I've tried to do this right.
Mm.
And she said, I've had a volunteer contacting the council, and they've basically been told, well, people just stick them up anyway. And, you know, they really were not interested. So, anyway, so she...
Depends how close they are to the roundabout.
But even so, over there, McDonald's always have them right on the roundabout. Yeah, so I just think that they can't be bothered to sort it out anymore.
They've got enough money to enforce it.
So, so it was really nice to see her, and then, but I still didn't. I said to her, how, "What size are the pitches?" And she said, "They're 4x4." So I was like, "Okay,
four meters. You've been grounding 4x4 in coffins,
desk."
Yeah.
4 metres by 4 metres, so I was like, okay, so got in and today and found out that the marquee or gazebo, we can't call it a gazebo because it's really not a gazebo.
Well, a gazebo is open sided, isn't it?
Yeah,
oh, this, no, got
this
sides.
Has got sides.
So this is a hotel.
But this is 8 metres by 4 metres.
So I was like, okay, God, so what do I do? Because at the moment it's all up in the air, and I've really felt like, God's been saying to me over this whole process, because generally I like to be organised and I like to get things rolling and getting things sorted out. So God keeps telling me to just like go with the flow and to, you know, I'm like, okay. So I've been sending out angels, like, God, you're going to have to do this because I can't physically do this in 5 days. And so I emailed her at lunchtime because I was like, stepped in, said, God, how do you want to handle this? Because when I saw her yesterday, I said, she said, oh, did you get my email about being in the healing tent? And I was like, yeah. I said, I don't think that's going to work. But never mind. Instead of doing healing, we can do readings. And she was like, oh, because obviously it's the first time I'd said anything about readings. So she was like, oh, so what's that then? And I said, well, you know, people, we lay out pictures and people pick something that they resonate with. And then we give them a reading. I said, but obviously for us, we seek God and God gives us the information to give to people. So she was like, oh, okay, well, all right, well, I'll think about that, she said. So I still, when I got in today, had no idea whether we could do healing or anything. And so I stepped in this morning and said to God, how do you want to do this? And he said, just wait. So I said, okay. So then at lunchtime, I felt like, actually, I need to email her. So I emailed her at lunchtime, and before I did it, I said to God, how do you want to do this? And he said, go for the assumptive cell. So I was like, okay. So I go for, okay, we have just found out the size of the, I did call it a gazebo, but it's not a gazebo, is 8x4, which is effectively two pitches side by side. So I said, how about we do our thing, you know, we do the project thing on one side, and then the other side we do our other stuff. Didn't say what it was or anything. So I was just like, and then I had a few other questions, and so later on this afternoon I had and the other question was, actually, is there power, and if not, can we bring a generator so that we can do teas and coffees for volunteers? So she got back to me late afternoon and said, yeah, sounds really good. Well, do two pitches? And previously there'd been discussion about payment, because she was like, oh, how's this going to work? Because they made everybody else pay, and we've got the only free pitch. So we agreed that actually we're going to pay, which I've got there, for one pitch, but they're going to do a discount. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And yes, you can have two pitches, where the charity on one side and your healing stroke readings on the other side. So I was like, excellent, thank you God. And the other thing is, we have the raffle, we're looking after the raffle, so if anybody wants to buy raffle tickets, they have to come to us to buy raffle tickets. And then in her email this afternoon she said, I think the idea of you of doing Drinks for Volunteers is an excellent idea. We've been wondering how we can provide this service for volunteers. How would you manage that, and what about cost and stuff like that? So I was just like,
oh, this is like volunteers, everybody. Well, you meant us. Yes. Yes.
So I went, oh crap, and I went, oh God, what are you up to?
Yeah, yeah. Those people could get a cut.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, first of all, I thought, oh flip, I need to correct that assumption. And then I was like, actually God, is this another opportunity? And it's like, yes, because it means that actually they'd be sending
everybody else who's volunteers would have to come to us
for drinks.
Yeah.
So that's still obviously to be decided and arranged, but I did email back and said, I think actually we'd really like to provide drinks. You know, would there be water on the site? And, you know, if we could do this, we'd like to do it. We'd keep the cost down, really just be a case of covering our costs. Mm. So that was that. And then she said, and by the way, you're next to the entrance tent.
So we're by the gate.
Yes, so we're by the gate. So I thought,
gatekeepers.
Exactly. My first thought was, excellent, we're actually, for the first event of like this kind in North Devon, we're keeping the gate. Mm. Which is just like, how amazing is that? That is just awesome. So there's still lots of things to sort out, and for anybody who's put their name down, I will be emailing stuff.
The tool, please.
Have you got many people's names?
Yeah, I think we'll have plenty of people. I think that Lindy's going to bring at least one person up with her a day, on each of the 3 days. She's not stopping over, she's coming up each day. We're going to meet here on Saturday morning for the first time, because we're set up on Friday night. We'll meet here at 9 o'clock
Friday.
For briefing, or Friday, yeah, not Friday night. And then it'll be a case of sorting out. So we're roughly covered, I think, throughout the weekend with people who've put their names down. Emma's going to be there the whole weekend because she's camping.
Who's that?
Emma.
So she's going to camp the whole weekend to guard everything for us. Yeah. She loves camping anyway, she's really blessed.
Yeah. So Emma's going to sort of make sure.
Will there be anyone else? Because I've put my name in for all day Sunday, but obviously Michael will come after the meeting. Is there anyone else going out in the morning?
I'll
need to get out there.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there.
So when I go out there with you?
Yeah. We'll need volunteers, obviously, for the project. We need volunteers to learn the primary, what we were feeling with Marketplace is that it's an opportunity for us to learn how they've done stuff in the past, and to work together and cement our relationship with them. And so they're sort of giving up their time really to come up and bless us. There will be an exchange of money in that we need to take a donation. Because I did say, when I first emailed her, I said, we don't charge for this service, generally, but we will, you know, if, because the whole event is people pay, do donations. So we do need to do donations. And with all the practitioners, what's happening is the money that's coming to us is coming from the raffle, but also any proceeds. So but the practitioners get to keep half of their fee, and the other half goes to charity, and we're their charity, or at least one of them. They haven't put anybody else up there. She did say initially that it would be a few people, a few charities. But I sent her like a big long spiel of stuff about the project and what we do here and stuff. And she just put it up. She just copied and pasted it and put it up. She said, "Oh, give me a short description." But I just sort of like, well, how can you say all the stuff we do in a short? So I was just like, you know, if you want me to reduce this, I'll try, but if not, just pick the bits that you want to put in. And she actually just can't paste it all in. And we've actually had a few links from it, so people have had a look and stuff. So, and one of the things is that people will be invited, that they can bring food and clothes and stuff to donate all the day if they want to as well. So it's actually going to be really interesting. So God has really gone before us and engineered everything. So, you know, I don't have any firm, like, it's going to look like X, Y, Z, because I just don't know what it's going to look like, other than we're going to be working with Marketplace on the outreach board.
So if we get a generator, can we then have a screen or something and run our video or something?
If we get a big enough one,
yeah.
If we're going to do teas and coffees, yeah, we've got to have one that will
well,
take
with
kettles and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
We
used to have one, but I don't know where it went.
Again,
you can hire them for the weekend.
But yeah. We could run laptops or screens, and we could also. I feel we need to be having worship music playing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely some stuff.
And maybe oils.
And stuff.
Yeah. Well, I one of the things
about
I was
music. Yeah. Question about music.
Yep.
Obviously, because I've got my track.
Yep.
Is it? I was thinking about. I've been thinking about whether or not to make some CDs.
Cool.
To, you know, people can donate, or you can give them away, or you can ask for a donation.
Whichever you like.
Yeah.
But yes, that would be brilliant.
So I was actually thinking. Actually, one of the things I was thinking is actually we could have that playing in the background.
Well, I was wondering that as well.
We also got Drench, which is like 10 tracks, which you can use. We're totally free to use that.
Yes, sir.
The Drench music.
What's Drench music?
Stuff I usually use.
We've also got
Drench stuff.
Yours.
Just stuff.
Just not my favourite thing.
No, but it's just gently in the background.
Yeah,
it's just.
I hate banging.
Can
we just not play it on?
Well, I was actually thinking that actually being able to just. Play it.
Yeah,
because that's actually it's releasing a heavenly sound.
We've got a video, haven't we?
That's like direct from heaven.
We put together the project.
We've got several videos.
Mark's done us a DVD which I've got that we've been using for the new news sale, which actually we can put that
just
on the
loop.
On the Tom did as well.
Yeah, but Mark's put that on all of them.
Social
enterprise. One. So it's a social enterprise one, isn't it? And the project that the one that Phil did and the one that Tom did. So they're all on the track.
Keeps going.
Some of our heavenly pictures, like the coloured pictures, could we, you know, that you use on your on the laptop screen when you do an activation? Some of those colours and things.
Waterfalls.
The merge the colours. You've got some in your when you do activations. You have some really good coloured. Yeah.
Close. Well, I've got some sort of like swirly things.
Yeah, I'm talking about those. They really like they're obviously they're
going through veils and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it depends because
we have those. I mean, because presumably the sides of the tent are going to be big and white, aren't they?
Yep.
Yes.
Could we put some? Is that appropriate? Not appropriate on the healing side. Obviously, the other side is going to be completely
project,
isn't it? But I'm talking about the other side.
You're talking sort of like having a ball thing with
It's where he cut things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't got anything like that. But we have got some colour lights in there. We can put up purples and...
Well, we've got a generator, we're going to be...
Yeah.
We can't. Yeah. It's like, well, it's going to
be a limit. Someone winded it up.
Yeah.
You know the pictures I mean, you've got them in the prayer room.
Well, we do exercise, we'll have to link it out to the bike.
Yeah, yeah, do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I've been able to get generators earlier on, and if we're going
to. Thank you so much. It's
cost effective to 5 minutes as well to rent
one.
They just add to the whole, you know, ambience, but obviously they'd be our pictures, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So, going back to the music, is it possible to do one that goes to loop what you've done?
Yeah. Well, you can press repeat.
Yeah, just press
and
repeat.
Single track if you want, whatever.
Yeah.
Just repeat.
Yeah. I was mainly thinking about CDs and with that.
Yeah.
Give that away to people. Is that something appropriate?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, one of the things
I've. We had a donation of CDs.
Did we?
Yeah.
So I got a load of them down the office, I think.
I'm running a few off. Yeah.
So I was thinking that we would take the pictures as well, social enterprise pictures at Beth's done, which are scriptures. They're all encouraging type things. But, you know, I've said that, you know, on our stand with the project, that we would be telling everybody about the whole aspect of it, including social enterprise initiatives. So my thought was actually it wouldn't hurt to have some that if people wanted to buy, they could. It's all right, isn't
it? I'm not going to object.
So on the project side of it, it's because I probably won't be at any meetings because we're going to be away. So is it best to wear uniform for that side?
No, we're not doing uniform, but I will email everyone. I will brief everyone by email as much as possible. We're just going to do badge, you know, like we do for Nearly New Cell. We'll just do badges for that, so it'll be Freedom Centre Volunteer. Because we'll need people to do, if we end up doing teas and coffees, then we'll need somebody on teas and coffees, somebody on raffle, and somebody being able to talk about the project. So, but as we're going to be all together, and I'll be there as well, so you know, it'll be a case of sharing, and I want people to have an opportunity to spend time with Lindy as well, if that's what they're interested in doing. And I know Benita's coming up one day, and I'm sure
she's coming Saturday.
Yeah, so somebody else is coming up on Sunday and Monday. So, you know, because I believe that that's what God wants to do, so, you know, people need that opportunity as well. And Emma's going to be there, she'll be doing project stuff, and she'll be able to talk to people about that and stuff. So I think we'll have volunteers, plenty of volunteers, but I just don't know what it's going to look like in terms of how busy these things get. Or,
well, the weather forecast is good.
Yeah, is. Which is good.
Just encouraging.
Yeah. So, and also, you know, people are going to be coming past us. You know, who knows? But ultimately, I feel that actually we're going to release a sound, a fragrance and a frequency into that environment where people are already open. And if this is, you know, one of the first events of this kind, national events, because it's actually, you know, it's like it's a national event, then it's, you know, good that actually we're by the gate.
Yeah. But also it's the first, in a sense, it's also sowing a seed for us in terms of the first fruits of something.
Yes.
And, you know, even if we wanted to, we might not be their charity next year, but if they do another one, we can still go and have a tent.
Yeah.
Can we? And,
yeah.
And do stuff.
Do something.
Yeah. Pitch, go do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. People will be a bit more used to it by then.
Yeah.
It would also be good to nudge or mountains as far as declarations and legislation.
That's one of the things I wanted to say, is that the people here this evening is actually to be seeking God from mountain perspective and saying, actually, what do we need to put into place?
Because we want a lot of angels there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Lots.
Yeah.
Lots of angels.
Lots of legions.
Other people's stuff not to work, so they all come to us.
Well, I just think, actually, people
will
be
drawn.
Open.
Yeah. People will be drawn.
And actually, you know, the angels will go out and draw people.
Yeah.
Because they'll be responding to truth. You know, they've got the fake, but then they're going to be wanting to come to the real thing.
Mm.
And so it's sort of... Yeah. So I just actually wanted to give testimony and glory to God, because I mean, he's just orchestrated the whole thing, which is just like, wow. I mean, I got in this morning not knowing whether we could actually go, apart from, you know, as a charity, to getting it absolutely everything that...
What it is.
We didn't even know if the marquee was big enough for any good or any of those bits or anything, because it's one we picked up months ago as a donation.
All right.
Dave was in hysterics last week when it came in, because he'd obviously
put
it
up. In the car park.
Yeah, he's like, it's as big as this room.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's massive. It would be. He's 8x4.
So is he coming over?
Probably about 8x4.
Yeah.
He's moving on Saturday, isn't he?
So is he?
I'm not sure whether he's...
Okay. Or moving house.
Yeah.
So, but he's happy to put it up, and he may pop over. What I need to find out from her is... do we need to give out passes to volunteers so that people don't get charged? So I'm just waiting. You know, it's those sorts of things. And then as soon as I have got enough information, I will email everyone. And,
sounds great.
It's actually going to be really, really good. So it's quite exciting.
That's really good.
That's it.
I mean, the card reading thing's really, really fun. I mean, I've done it a few times in town when they were up before. And it's really good fun, because they just choose a card and you just sort of go, because you know idea what they're going to choose.
Yeah.
So you then have to just say.
Yeah.
I mean, we also did a dream interpretation one down in the square, and that was really good fun as well. People just came saying what sort of dreams were and just interpreted them. So yeah.
We'll save your chair for that.
Yeah, well, it's good. I like interpreting
dreams. Mike's dreams interpretation.
Yeah, I like doing that.
Yeah. So but we will have to chart that. One of her things is we can't charge less than other people. It has to be standard. So the general charge is a minimum donation of £10. So, but people come to these events expecting that they're going to have to pay for these things. So it's like, actually, we're going to...
This Dick Meg would charge more than £10.
I'm sure. I'm sure there's some.
I wonder if she'll be
Mystic Mike.
I'm quite happy to have the title Mystic. Yeah. I've defined that one.
A sad little grotto, a sad little cubicle.
Yeah, his dream chair.
Yeah. There will be. Lily's got a couple of flags, so we'll have flags outside aspect of it.
I was thinking when you first mentioned it, we need to take our rainbow flag, big one.
Yeah.
One that's over the underneath the.
Yeah.
I think you're an LGBT place. That'll draw them in. That's great.
Yeah. No, I really saw. That's the first when you. Right, I thought we need to take that back.
Well, actually, one of the first things I saw was that actually I didn't know how it would work, but the first thing was actually I saw the flag. I didn't see what it was, but I was like, I know we need a flag. And so...
Because people will ask.
Yeah.
You say, no, it's God's promises.
Yeah.
Promise flag, yeah. I thought that provoke conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's not what it is anywhere now.
But, you know, I think the thing to remember is that actually we're going to take heaven with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to release heaven in that place.
That's also the promise that God's done this, isn't it? That it's this
declaration
thing. Yeah. I don't know if you've got a pole for it or whether we just hang it up. I don't know, but I just saw that.
Well,
anyway.
Marquee will have sort of loads of things you can hang it over. Yeah,
we'll be able to plug it through one of the bars and have it hanging down. Yeah.
So when would you have to set everything up?
Friday.
Around what sort of time?
It's during the day.
Oh, right, I'll do.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to take all day, is it? But it's basically, you can get there from 9, I think. Okay. But I'm waiting to hear, really. So it'll be
tricky bit is putting the marquee up.
Yeah.
Well, Dave's obviously done it.
Yeah, in the car park.
He said, funny today, but he threw us in a bag of rock. He went away for the weekend and he buys us rock. Marmite. Oh, they're really weird, aren't they? Really weird things.
So, so it wouldn't be sweet, it would just be the flavour of whatever it is.
Well, we smelt
sugar
all
in it,
rock,
pretty much.
It's just sugar.
Sugar in it, solid sugar in it.
Marmite, fish and chips.
Sugar.
Fish and chips and fish and some rock.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I think the Sambuca one.
That's what I'm saying, I urge you. Any more? Or are we done?
Sounds great.
Well done.
Talk about marriage enrichment, of course, because Joe's got a big bit of paper in front of him.
Oh, we did,
oh,
that,
no,
last
we
time.
Did that last
we
time.
We did that last time, yeah.
Disappointing, huh?
No.
Yeah. So have you got your five couples?
I haven't heard back victims. From you two.
It's Saturdays, it's difficulty because we're away, a couple of those.
Oh, we could talk to you about that.
Saturdays.
Mm.
We are interested in doing it though.
Alright. Shall I chat to you tomorrow?
Yeah. So, if anybody gets any feedback or feels anything from a motive perspective, or can you just sort of let me know? Obviously, do whatever God tells you to do, but if there's anything particularly that you feel that you need to share, then can you do that with God just the weekend?
Exciting.
Mm.
So, next meeting is the